All right, well, let's pick up from Tosfos. Okay, so remember, the Gemara's Havamina, right, by Shema Mefarish, is you would think that I could use Kinoi instead of Shema Mefarish. I could use Kinoi, right? Okay, what does Kinoi mean? So we were learning, like Rabbeinu Hillel, which would be that what's a Kinoi? Kinoi would mean any name of God. And as Sean emphasized yesterday, every name of God, ultimately, even though it might emphasize a characteristic, ultimately is a synonym because it's all referencing God, right? God is indivisible. So therefore, even though we call God Midas Arachamim, it's still God. Okay?
You're quoting a pasuk.
What is Tosfos say?
Oh, Eino Elevit. Sinoin. Rabbeinu Hillel Pirish Besifri, the Kinoi. Kigon Kel Kelokin Sokot. Velo Mistabar, the Hechi Tisak Adata, the Shibushe Kra.
The Maimar.
Kra the Maimar, Yvarecha Lokim.
The Malcolm Shem. Right, ben arba osios.
So,
bimkom shem ben arba osios. Meaning, it will make no sense to say you can't replace yud kei vav kei with elokim. What are you going to say? Yivracha elokim yishmracha. That doesn't make any sense according to osios. That's absurd. So, kinoi the havmina can't mean any name of God. That one makes sense. Rather, what is it? Right. So the kinoi. Right, so what's the obvious thing Tosfos is saying? The obvious conceptual idea before we get to the, you know, what's the obvious point he's saying? It's a cute point that he's making, but it's an important point. Tosfos is making a very subtle but a very important point. Tosfos is saying that what makes this kinoi different than other kinoim? Because let's say the kinoi of Kel, right? That's not a kinoi of the Shema Mefarash. That's a kinoi of God. Okay, meaning there are different names that we use to describe God. Right. But Adoshem's not a kinoi of different ways of describing God. Adoshem is the kinoi of the Shema Mefarash. That's a different kind of kinoi. That's not the other kind of kinoi. Let's say Elokim. That is a name to reference God. Okay? But it's not a kinoi of the Shema Mefarash, right? It's just simply another way of establishing the name of God. But Adoshem only exists, right, because you can't pronounce the Shema Hashem, the Shema Mefarash, outside the Mikdash. Right, you understand? Or I'll put it a different way. Theoretically, if you could always say the Shema Mefarash, right? So that you might even argue there wouldn't even be Ad Hashem. There would be Kel and Tzvakos, etc., because those express different ideas. But this only exists because it is the kinoi of the Shema Mefarash. That's a different kind of kinoi. Now, Clark was harping yesterday on a certain point, which you just had the wrong address. Tosfos is bothered by the use of Kel, Elokim, Tzvakos as a possibility in the Havamina. Why? Because if the Shema, there's a huge difference between the Shema Mefarash and one of the other names of God. What is that difference? Hey guys, what's the difference between the Shema Mefarash and, let's say, a kinoi of Kel and Tzvakos? So the Shema Mefarash is addressing God. That's it. But the other ones are God with attribute. Okay? So it could be, one second, so it could be what Tosfos is saying is that you can never have a Havamina, remember Havamina Birkas Kohanim, that when I give this bracha over, where, again, the Shema Mefarash is a certain type of, it's a different name because it only is addressing God. The only possibility that could exist in the Havamina is any other name that would be doing that exact same thing. There's only one name that does that, Ad Hashem. Every other name would be adding an attribute in describing God. Well, let me just put it a different way. In other words, whereas the other kinuim are there, they reference God, but there's an attribute attached to it, the Shema Mefarash identifies God. It's the identifier. But now let's go back and just finish up this one point. Korin Tosfos now, all right? Now let's read the Gemara Korin Tosfos. The Havamina is that of course, you can only use the name that identifies God. The Havamina is that the Kinoi also does the same thing, right? Kamash Malan, then no, you can only use the Shema Mefarash when you're in the Mikdash, okay? But when you're outside the Mikdash, when you can't do it, Dash is not the Pasuk. Korin Tosfos, are there two types of Birkas Kohanim? What I'm trying to explain to you is you got to appreciate the problem here, according to Tosfos. Tosfos is a fascinating problem because if you're telling me all along that now we only have two names to play with, Shema Mefarash and the Kinoi of the Shema Mefarash, okay? Now Tosfos is saying, what do we see? Obviously, you can only use the Shema Mefarash, right? But then what about outside the Mikdash? Oh, and outside the Mikdash, I can use the alternate version of Shema Mefarash, which is clearly not as good as the Shema Mefarash, right? See, the Rabbeinu Hillel is learning their names of God, okay? This is different. This is saying that this is the kinoi of the Shema Mefarash, which by definition means it's not as good as the Shema Mefarash. So what is Tosfos going to say when it comes to Birkas Kohanim? How does Tosfos look at it? Yeah. Right. So you're going to have to say Tosas is going to say, agreed. Tosas is going to say that, very good. Tosas is going to have to say that ultimately, like you guys are saying, you can only do the best you can. Meaning you can't say that one's inferior to the other by virtue of the fact that all I could ever do is do this. That doesn't make it inferior, right? In other words, when I'm outside Mikdash, all I could do is the Kinoi, right? So that still is one idea of Birkas Kohanim. And both of them are Yotzei Birkas Kohanim L'Chadchila. It just happens to be that in the Mikdash, right, there's, again, it's not that there's two types of Birkas Kohanim. But the expression of Mikdash can be Shem HaMefarash, because that's the best I could do. So now the next Tana Idach is, the next Tana Idach tells us that Kosevarku, right, as Bnei Yisrael. Bnei means males. So you would think that excludes, or you would think it excludes women, Gerim, and Avadim Mishukharim. One Girsa has it just as Avadim, but it doesn't matter. Kamash Malan, that Amor Lahem teaches you that it includes them as well.
Now, B'nai means males.
B'nai means son of. Bunim.
Well, but even
like I said before, there are two roads you could take. You could try, good luck, you could try and get into what do the Nashim and Gerim and Avadim share in common, and what is it about Birkas Kohanim that would naturally exclude them. I find it to be very, very challenging. Or you could say that the Gemara is bringing this in to really emphasize a point, which I think would be something that this gentleman here would be very happy with. See, he thinks that we always fight, but there's some times where his way of looking at the Gemara makes sense. Most of the time it doesn't. But there's a few times where it does. Here, why would the Gemara bring this in? Is there seriously a Havamina that Birkas Kohanim, and again, my slant, putting my slant on the table, Birkas Kohanim, this tremendous bracha from God, deep ideas of Ashkacha, Yivrecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, would somehow exclude women, Gerim? And Gerim? That's it. I'd say it like this. In other words, up to this point in time, every single drush of Kosevarchu has done what from a darshaning out standpoint? What has it done? No, it is, but I'm saying up to this point, what has Kosevarchu always done? What? Okay, but in doing so, what kind of drush mechanism is being employed, so to speak? Now, I don't mean like Zera Shava Hekesh, I don't mean that. I mean, what's the effect of each one? So it's creating a miut. Right, each one is saying it's only done this way. It's only done. In other words, each one has created an exclusivity of Birkas Kohanim. Right, so it could be what the Gemara is saying. That's why I'm saying it's a svara about it. It could be the Gemara is bringing this in not because it's a real havmina that you would exclude Gerim, etc. Because there's nothing in Birkas Kohanim that lends stuff to that. See, by Birkas a Muslim, I can understand why you would exclude a Ger. Right, they didn't get Eretz Yisrael, whatever. They didn't get Yerusha. There's natural parts to it that you could say would lend itself to. We're excluding it. And by the way, don't give me mitzvah seish man grama, because it's not a mitzvah for women to do it anyway. It's their recipients. The people are receiving the bracha. So what is that? Why would you ever exclude anybody? You just sit there and like, hey, come on and blessing me. But maybe it's trying to show you that so if we go aligned with the theme of the pasuk, Kosevarchu is teaching you exclusivity. So maybe if we continue that theme, what else would you think? It's continually exclusive. So that's why maybe, not seriously, that B'nai Yisrael only means men. It's just trying to bring out a point, which is that you can, in other words, God is teaching us, when you darshan out the Pasuk, right, what, yes, when you darshan out the Pasuk, knowing God knows full well in darshaning out the Pasuk, right, because again, the methodology Drush was given at Sinai, he knows full well that if you keep going down the road of the Pasuk, if you stop at B'nai Yisrael, you'd say, well, since everything about this verse has been exclusive, maybe this is exclusive as well. Amor Lahem. Amor Lahem is brought in by God to counter that theme of the Pasuk. You understand? That's why I'm saying it's a Svara about it. I would love to hear a simple Svara for how you could start saying common denominator, Birkas Kohanim, etc. To me, it's much easier to say that, and it definitely fits into the thematic shift the Gemara takes now from who? From the Kohanim to who now? To the people. The shift the Gemara is now going to take is it's going to go away from what the Kohanim are doing and now to so far as the people receiving the bracha. So it's a good transitional point in the Gemara. But I'm just saying it could be that when you read the Pasuk as a miut, right? So what you would think is, okay, well, B'nai Yisrael should be included in that miut. So God actually writes Amor Lahem to tell you that, yeah, the miut will apply by Kosevarchu, but not when it comes to who's included in the bracha. So whereas the delivery of the bracha has a lot of exclusivity to it, how it's done, who does it, etc. Insofar as the recipient's concerned, there's no miut whatsoever. It applies to everybody. Okay, Tani Ida, Kosevarchu.
Those are all the Kosevarchu. They all start with Kosevarchu.
Yes, Kosevarchu Panim.
Okay, great.
So notice now we're bringing in, now comes the audience, okay? It's like a very nice theme. Now the audience comes in. Right, well, before we never talked about recipients. We only talked about the deliverers, the UPS guys. Now we're talking about the person who receives the package. Asher is right about that. The Gemara expects us to know there's an axiom here. The axiom is, remember, the end game is, we know Birkas Kohanim is done panim upanim. That's going to be a very important point. Remember, when you have Birkas Kohanim, again, let's cheat ahead. We know, for example, what's one of the things you can't do by Birkas Kohanim? This actually is a very practical question for today. So I go to an outdoor minyan on Shabbos, okay? So when I'm there, so what's set up is we daven in this guy's front, yard, okay? And what happens is, it's very interesting, he has got a neighbor across the street who davens in front of his house, okay? But what I notice is that when we do Birkas Kohanim, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't come in front of us. That's a big problem. Now, Mimadashach, you might say, well, I'm not really part of the minyan for that. But then why are you part of the minyan for anything? What's the point of then the davening outside and being mitzarev to us? Yosef is right in the sense that we know there's punim involved from the deliverer, but the point, though, is that now there is something else about the audience now that's being brought into this. Yeah, panim el panim. So what does the Gemara say? Ata Omer. Okay, then what does that mean? Meaning that the Kohanim could... Okay, now who's turned around? Look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? No, where are you? Oh, eino ela afilu panim keneged oref.
Oh, that one makes a lot more sense. Yeah, that would... We were looking at that Rashi.
Read the Rashi I want you to read. She'ena tzibor.
Oh, eino ela afilu panim keneged oref. She'ena tzibor tzrichin lahasev pneihem letzad
achronim. So that means what? Let's make it simple. Tzibor, turn around. Okay, so you would think that panim up, is it panim upon him? Or maybe what can happen is that the Kohanim can go ahead, and when the Kohanim give the bracha, they can have a lot of yudis in the audience who turn their back to the Kohen, right? So maybe you'll think that works. So the Gemara says, Tamalomar. Amor Lahem. Okay, Adam Ha'omer Lechavero. So Amor Lahem. You say to them, how do you say it to them? Like a person talking to his friend. Okay, now, again, I don't know, I can't speak for Yudi, but when I talk to people I like, right? I it's like David right now. David and I are facing each other. This is how we converse, right? Now, Yudi, that's not how you talk to somebody. You can't. It is interesting that Rashi has to fill in. I'm not saying it's real Havamina, but Rashi has to fill in, right? Because you could have thought that, what did it mean? The Gohan are facing the other way, right? I mean, there is something there. Okay, there is something there.
Yeah.
Okay, but so how would you approach this? So, good. So one step you would take is, you would think that what's Birkas Kohanim? It's a Maisa Dibur, right? So if I'm just, if the Chiyuv is to say Birkas Kohanim, to do an act of talking, so who cares what direction the Tibur is facing in? Can you not hear it? What's the difference, right? Okay. Very important to understand this. In other words, Rashi's emphasizing something here in a very subtle way. Rashi's saying that, remember, the people have to turn around to face the Kohanim. Not that the Kohanim have to turn around to face them. There's a difference there. There's a difference in saying the people have to face the Kohanim versus the Kohanim have to face the people. Okay, good. Okay. The Havina is simple. The Havina is that what's the Chiyav Dibur, right? Say this bracha out loud. So it wouldn't matter. It would never matter the orientation of each one. Now, if the issue was about the Kohanim, then what you would say is that let's talk about giving a speech. Imagine Sean gives a speech in front of the he's giving a chabura over. Now, if you were facing the Aron when he gave the chabura, so you would say, what's lacking there? You're not addressing the people you're speaking to, right? You say, that's a problem. I'm not addressing them. Okay. But that's not what Rashi says. That would be a problem in the Kohanim. Rashi doesn't say that. Rather, I think Rashi is introducing a whole other element to Birkas Kohanim. There's a reason why Rashi has to say this. So there's another way to look at it, which is that, in other words, again, Havmina Dibor. But David was onto something here. Imagine you're in the, if you're in the Tzibor, I think you're saying also, if you're in the Tzibor, okay, and you're facing the Kohanim, what does that say, what does that now do to the nature of the delivery of the message? What does that make you now as being the tzibur? What is that? What's happening now?
Receptive.
What? And therefore what? It's true. Now you're receptive. Now what? What does that make you? There you go. You become part of Birkas Kohanim. You see, that's what's very important. The Gemara is going to, just listen, the Gemara is about to shift there's a paradigm shift now in the Gemara, going from focusing through the Kohanim, now to understanding that the Tzibor is actually part of Birkas Kohanim itself. Okay, they're part of it. Hold on. They're part of the process. How do you demonstrate they're part of it? By facing the Kohanim. See, there's like a relationship being established. Again, let's use the UPS example, okay? I'm delivering a package to Yudi, right? So when I give the package to Yudi, right, Yudi receives it, he's now part of the delivery receiving process of package. That's what's happening at Birkas Kohanim. So the reason why, by them facing the Kohanim, it renders their participants, renders the Tzibor participants in the very process of Birkas Kohanim. That's why they have to face the Kohanim. It's very interesting now. Now the Gemara brings in a funny point because we now established the construct, which is that the Kohanim faced the Tzibor, Tzibor faced the Kohanim, and let's go with what I'm saying now. You form the relationship between the two, right? That the Tzibor isn't simply like an empty kli, but rather they are in some way participating. A receiver is a participant in the process. So now the Gemara is saying, maybe you would think it doesn't matter how loud you are. It could be a whisper of the Birkas Kohanim if you wanted to, right? Kamash Malan, that no, they have to. It has to be B'kol Ram, right? Amor Lahem, meaning another one. What was the Havamina? So what I want to propose is, just like by the same way when a UPS guy delivers a package, so the package, so to speak, is what brings together the deliverer and the recipient, obviously. The audibility of the bracha is what ties the Tzibor now to the Kohanim. Yeah. Because if they can hear it now, in other words, the Kohanim are making it audible, right? And if they can hear it now, just picture that's like a real thing. Picture the words now, so to speak, them hearing it from the Kohanim, now they can define themselves as being recipients of the bracha. It's what ties them together. That is what ties them together. Without hearing it out loud, so it's true that they are participating to some extent, because they're facing them, right? But is the tziruf between them, is there a true relationship? No, the relationship is expressed through being able to hear the bracha. That's why the Rambam says, right, the Rambam says, Shisha Dvarim Mona Nesias Kapayim. There are six things that would prevent a Kohen from doing Nesias Kapayim. The first one is Lashon, okay? And the Rambam, for example, explains, let's say someone stutters, or they can't pronounce, differentiate between Aleph and Ayins, okay? Or things of that nature, okay? Chvad Peh, Chvad Lashon, okay? She'ein Divran Nikarin Lakol, Ein Nosin Eskapayim. Think about that, right? That sounds like, Asher, just a little bit more. So Amar Abaye. Right. Shinemar Amor Lahem. Okay. So you should be aware of this halacha, right? Now this is okay. This is the problem with this Gemara is the Gemara expects you to know something you don't know, which is all of a sudden what's required in Birkas Kohanim? Right. Right. Announcing an introduction. Okay. So, where'd that come from? I don't know, but the Gemara expects you to take that as a given. What? I know, but why does that mean that, why can't the Kohanim just go up there and say, Baruch Atah Hashem L'chem Olam? And by the way, Avi, I don't even know what I call introduction, I call it a prompt. They need a prompt. Now, there is an indication why prompts are important, because we know how's Birkas Kohanim going to work. Always keep in mind, what's the structure of Birkas Kohanim? It's a prompt system, meaning what happens? The Shleich Tzibor says, no, they respond to the prompt. Yivarechecha, and the Kohanim respond to being prompted by the Shleich Tzibor. Right? So there's a prompt in place, okay? What other examples of prompt? Nevarech Shechana Mishalo, by Zimun, right? That's prompting you, right? So this is set up as a prompt system. So it's interesting that the introductory prompt is Kohanim, okay? Fine. That you need it at all.
Okay.
Right. That's an important point. In other words, that's the critical question. In other words, okay, fine. So you're going to darshan out from Lahem. I don't care if it's a smachta or not. You're going to darshan out from Lahem. But let me ask you a question. Who cares? Why can't you just say Kohen? Why is it such a big deal to say Kohen? Why is that such a problem? One second. It doesn't mean the Kohen doesn't duchen. In other words, if there's one, you guys know the halacha. Let me finish. If there's one Kohen will still duchen even if he's not prompted. So you can't tell me the prompts of Ma'akiv. If it was Ma'akiv, then one Kohen couldn't duchen. It's just that if you have one Kohen, you don't say anything. You don't say Kohen. Why not? Or what's the, why, or, understand the question here. The prompt is not essential. Because if it was, then it wouldn't matter how many Kohanim you have, you'd always have to be prompted. Right? So you see, it's not essential. So then what do I care? What do I care if it's Kohanim or Kohen? What's the difference? Why does it matter at all?
What's the deal with the Rashi? Naftinon Kohen Korek Kohanim, Ve'in Yisrael Korek Kohanim. Sh'nemar Amor Lahem, Amira...
Right, Tehei. Okay, that's even wilder, which you obviously don't possibly like. Baruch Hissa says, well, who prompts the Kohanim? In other words, only a Kohen could ever prompt Kohanim. Okay, only Kohen ever prompt Kohanim.
I mean, Rashi jumps on that.